Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Ria Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help you build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we talk about using tools, and the same goes for building your brand. We want to give you the tools so that you can build your brand, and some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you'll put in your belt, maybe on the shelf for later. But today's tool is movement. And what we're going to talk about is how important movement is to be a part of your life and in business, and how to create movement in your life once I've demonstrated to you that this is a great tool for your brand. Many different flavors and the spice is strong. Get into the hot stuff, let me pour a little song. Baby, let me show you how to do this. You gotta move this. You're doing fine. There's nothing to it. You gotta groove it. Come on and move this. Shake that body for people. Don't you know? Don't you know it's about time? Why should I move, people ask? Why should I move, damn it? I like my couch. I'm enjoying myself. Probably one of my favorite topics, and the one that I think is so very important and painfully lacking in so many people's lives. People hear the word exercise and fitness and go to the gym, and they balk at that. I'm not saying to do any of that, but I'm also saying to do all of that. What you need to do if you want to build a better brand is to simply move. Your body was designed to move. You have the same body that man has had for 50,000 years. One of my favorite books and all-time favorite authors and prominent Harvard psychiatrist is Dr. John Rady. His book, Go Wild, is a must-read. Here's some of the things that movement has been shown to do. Number one, movement has been shown to improve cognitive function. And if you even add some resistance training, you can improve your cognitive function. And these benefits go beyond your immediate benefits of feeling good and feeling stronger. But the stronger you become, the greater benefit for your brain. And I can attest to this personally. I know that every single time I leave my boot camp, I feel tremendously stronger, both mentally and physically. It also improves your immune system functioning. In other words, you don't have to get sick as much as you do. You won't have to take time off of work. You can take time off of work to enjoy yourself rather than sit in bed. What movement does is it gets your lymphatic system flowing and flushing. The lymphatic system includes your lymph nodes, your thymus, and your tonsils and your spleen, which are all responsible for defending invaders. If you want your immune system to hustle, you need to get out there and move. Movement makes you more creative, more innovative. It increases your metabolism so you can eat more. This is what I always say. I eat, therefore I work out. It also makes you look younger if you need additional incentive. Check out Cameron Diaz's book, Longevity. It's responsible for cell regeneration. So you don't have to buy as much makeup. Just get moving. It also can prevent depression. And I want to be clear not to treat clinical depression. Okay, clinical depression is not something that we can just snap out of. We're talking about where we're preventing depression by including movement in our lives. It harnesses the relaxation response, which is opposite to the anxiety response. It improves mood. So it's a great thing to do just to feel good. Okay, helps businesses make more money. If you want highly energized employees with less sick days, more positive outlook, and therefore higher morale, better productivity, and highly efficient working teams, you want to include movement in your business. Have walking clubs at work. Employee incentives to join gyms. Employee reward programs for steps taken and tracked with a pedometer. Or if you can get Fitbits for your team, great. Offer yoga or Zumba classes on site. And these are great ways to get your employees moving. Basically speaking, movement makes you smarter, happier, healthier, and less stressed. What are some obstacles that people have for moving? And I'm going to tell you how to move around them. One of the things that people say, oh, I don't have the time. Well, you might say that, but that really is just an excuse. What is really going on here is that people are not making the time for movement. This is different than taking the time. What I find is that if you don't actually plan to have the things happen in your life, they won't happen. So what I want you to do is to actually put it on your calendar. So every day, 6 o'clock, put it on your calendar. Take a walk with the family. Go for a bike ride with my significant other. So these are the things that we put on our calendar that we do consciously, deliberately on a daily basis. And after about 21 days, these turn into subconscious processes, what we call habits. Now you even have an evening ritual. And let me tell you how the rest of the night goes. It goes much more harmoniously. You have a connected family. You've had time to chat. You've breathed in fresh air. You've let your lymphatic systems flow. You've elevated your immunity, your mood. You've cultivated the relaxation response. And now you have a healthier, happier, more bonded family and individuals for the remainder of the evening, not to mention smoother bedtimes and better quality of sleep. Too many times people complain that they don't have time. In my seminars where I help people reclaim their time, I ask people to draw their real wheel and how they're spending their 168 hours a week, because that's all we all have. And then I ask them to draw out their ideal wheel. How would you like to spend 168 hours a week? And people discover, about 90%, I would say, that they're losing time in front of a screen. Computers, TVs, devices like phones and gaming systems. If someone made a movie of your life, what would it look like? Is it you looking at a screen? Think about that. The average American spends a staggering 10 hours a day consuming media. Screens, if you don't know this, are dopaminergic. Parents are putting this digital drug in front of their children. You might as well be handing them cocaine. I know I'm being dramatic, but if you dare, check out this new book called Glow Kids by Dr. Nicholas Cardaris. And I practice what I preach. My children, ages 9 and 5, do not have devices. They did not see a screen before, of any kind, before the age of 2. We do not have cable. They only watch 1 hour of Netflix programming a day to avoid the brainwashing of commercials, that is. And that is it. And I mean, that's it. No other types of screens. But that puts the onus of responsibility on me to get them moving, to take them to museums, to cultural events, to attend parkour classes, to go to playgrounds. We garden, we run around the block, we do Tabatas together. Get movement and get back into your life. Another excuse that I hear is that people don't have the equipment or the money to have movement or go to the gym. The number one thing that you can do is walk. Walking is the number one thing you can do that has the smallest failure rate. Why? Anyone can do it. Requires no special equipment. You want to include some resistance training? Carry around some big books. Get an almond milk jug and fill it up with water and freeze it. Carry around your kids. Here's an idea. Next time you take your kids to the park, get on the jungle gym. Do pull-ups, push-ups, even if it's only one. The first time you do something is always going to be the hardest. The first lap around the block is the hardest. Everyone after that is easier. So swing, climb instead of sitting on your smartphone. And there are times that maybe you don't want to do that. What I do is I play a YouTube video and I do some Tabata, some high-intensity interval training right there in the park. And sometimes the kids join in. What I do now is I look forward to these workouts. And after you develop this habit, you will too, as opposed to looking forward to collapsing on the couch or your next donut. So how can you include movement? Some things you can do every day. Take the stairs. You don't have to take the Stairmaster then. Take a walk. You won't have to get on the treadmill. Walk to your neighborhood establishments. Don't drive. Go to your schoolyards, local parks, swing sets, jungle gyms. Don't have to go to the gym. Bicycle on trails are the dedicated bike lanes that we have now. Use them for work. Take them with your kids. Go to the pool. Run around the block. Walk around the block. Start a community garden. So many benefits there. And here's my favorite. Dancing. Why have people stopped dancing? My husband and I still go to the club to dance. They won't turn you away, don't worry. My husband's 51 and I'm 45 and we love it. We dance with the kids at home. It's free fun, it's very good for you, and when done in groups, actually it has a meditative quality. It's a form of celebration and a primal expression, so get dancing. And by the way, all of the songs today are from Technotronic. These are great tunes to dance to and have some great moves for you and the kids to do at home as well if you check out their videos. Okay, thank you for joining us here at UInc. My name is Rhea Greif, and today we have a very special guest. Her name is Pam Nisevich-Bede. She's from EAS Sports Nutrition, a division of Abbott Nutrition, and she is the Senior Manager for Nutrition Marketing for Abbott Nutrition and their EAS line, their sport nutrition line for elite athletes and fitness enthusiasts. Pam and her team wrote a book called Runner's World, Run to Lose, a complete guide to weight loss for runners, along with certified running coach Jennifer Van Allen. Run to Lose provides you with the tools and information you need to get started and stay on track with running and nutrition for weight loss. She's an OSU graduate and Miami graduate. Pamela's media outreach and participation includes nutrition expert experiences on NBC and CBS affiliates, and as an author in Today's Dietitian, Idea Fitness Journal, and My Family Doctor. And I'm very excited to have this expert in the room to share ways where people can benefit from movement in their lives. Thank you for coming, Pam.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Pam, you also write a monthly contributor, Runner's World, online and in print.
I do. The column is called Fuel School. And in Fuel School, we cover everything from running and nutrition 101 to, you know, the intricacies of cranberry or recovery or hydration. So we cover it all.
How do you come up with those topics every month?
A lot of it is a conglomeration between just trends my editor has heard or I've heard. And a lot of it, you know, I work with a whole variety of athletes from beginner runners to very elite levels. And it's just the questions that I hear again and again. And if, you know, one or 10 athletes have the question, I'm sure hundreds of them have the same question. The most common ones are, how do I get ready for race day? How do I lose weight? How do I hydrate? You know, so we all tend to have the same issues.
Right. And I was reading a little bit about your book, and it talks about you have a prescription no matter where you are in that kind of running continuum, whether you're a beginner, whether you're advanced. Tell us a little bit about how that book came about and how you come up with these prescriptions.
Right. The book is entitled Run to Lose, and it's very much positioned for weight loss, but I also wish they had called it Nutrition for Runners 101 or Nutrition for Active People. And the book is everything you probably ever wanted to know about sports nutrition on a very introductory basis. So we cover off on, you know, different stages of running. And when you're a beginner, you tend to have the same questions, or a lot of us start movement to nudge a few pounds along,
right?
Most of us aren't necessarily inspired to get on the what I call the treadmill a lot of times because we look fantastic, right? So beginners tend to have the same questions. And then as we get to be intermediate runners or intermediate fitness enthusiasts, we still want to maintain, you know, a fantastic look in our jeans, but also like, well, how do I get more energy? And should I tweak that salad? And then as we get to more elite levels, the questions become, okay, what can I fine-tune to get on the podium? Or I just want to knock, you know, a minute off my marathon pace. What are some nutrition tips I can use to fuel that performance?
You know, you just mentioned marathon. You just completed the New York Marathon. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was my 20th attempt.
Really?
So. Not at the New York. I've accrued 20 medals over time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So do you get better and better at it?
No, not necessarily. You know, it's funny, I come home with a medal and my little kids are always like, Mommy, did you win? And I'm like, not even close. I didn't embarrass myself. And, you know, you try to be a good role model for your kids. So it's a lot of conversation about like, but I tried really hard and I worked really hard and I finished and I didn't give up. So some, you know, some races are better than others. I feel that I improve over time, whether it's mental strength or physical strength or just smarter training. But the time doesn't always reflect that, you know. Sometimes it's weather or course or just a bad day.
Sure, sure. And, you know, you mentioned you have children. Your children are young, 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear this a lot, and I, too, have young children, 5 and 9. And you hear a lot, oh, I can't do it. I'm too busy. I have kids. I'm too tired. What do you say to people who say that?
I hear that a lot, too. And I have to admit, if I didn't have a good support system, that is crucial. If you have someone who's not in your camp, who doesn't understand why, or who's just not in it with you, it makes movement so much harder, right? So you have to have a good support system. And if let's say you don't have a good support system, let's say you're doing it on your own and you're a single parent, then sometimes it comes down to time prioritization, right? It comes down to you don't sleep as much as you used to, but you also feel more energized when you're out there exercising. And it's like what you said, you've got to make things a habit. I would almost bet you money, if you made running or movement or exercise a habit, you will get to a place within a month or two where you absolutely can't go without it. It just becomes so ingrained, and it's your therapy. I always say I might run for an hour a day, but if I didn't, I might be laying down a therapist chair for an hour a day, and running sure is less expensive and easier to get to. So it's prioritization. And then there are absolutely days where I don't have support that I need, right? I don't have the childcare I need. And that's where things like a jogger comes in really handy, a bike trailer. If your kids are older, get them moving too. And it might not be the workout you anticipated, but we're all out there and we're breathing fresh air and we're breaking a sweat and you're being a fantastic role model.
Right. And one of the things that I forgot to mention that you brought up is you start to feel tired and you think to yourself, oh, I'm too tired to work out. But actually, working out has the opposite effect.
It really does. It seems very ironic. I hear a lot, I'm too tired to work out, or I get too hungry to work out, and then I have lunch instead, and then my day derails. So usually my two answers there are, have you tried coffee? Because coffee improves performance. Not everyone's a caffeine, you know, consumer. I happen to be one. And then if you are hungry and it's that lunch break and that's your only window to work out, you can probably last for an half an hour, maybe an hour on the nutrition stores you have on board. Mm-hmm. Just go work out. I can almost guarantee you the hunger will pass within 10, 15 minutes. And then you're going to feel so much better the rest of the day. And you're probably going to make better nutrition choices.
Yep.
Because you feel better about yourself and you want to keep that going.
And if you're just joining us, you are here with us here at U Inc. at 90.5 WCBE with Pam Nisevich-Bead. And we're here talking about her book. Tell us your journey with writing the book.
I always sit down to write a book and I always think it's a good idea. And then I always finish and my husband says, now you're sure, you promise you'll never do that again, right? Writing a book is like just an incredibly intensive process. You've got a great, you know, thought as to what you want to put on paper and you have an outline, but then you forget about it. Takes an incredible amount of research. And I had a fantastic co-author who's mm-hmm. just an incredibly gifted writer. And she is also a fantastic running coach. So she and I had both built rapport with the people that we kind of showcase in the book, because a lot of the book is about just case studies and people saying, like, here's why I came mm-hmm. to running. Here's why running changed me. And here's why nutrition was so important. Mm-hmm. So that was a big, you know, part of the research of the book. And then I just had accrued all this nutrition knowledge of hundreds of nutrition seminars and sitting down with hundreds of athletes and the same questions and the same needs. And we just finally kind of just put that down on paper. And, you know, of course, it took a lot of editing and a lot of time, but it's, you know, a great volume of just really all things nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've inspired lots of people. I'm sure you've gotten some testimonials back from people.
Definitely.
You know, before when you first came in and we were chatting, you were asking me, like, you know, what got you into movement? I want to ask you the same question. What got you? And you said you've competed 20 times now. Mm-hmm. What got you into it?
That's a really great question. You know, I played soccer when I was little. I played soccer through college. And I was good at soccer, but I wasn't fantastic. But we also had a tryout that you had to run 2 miles. And I knew I was okay at dribbling and I was okay at juggling. But I was pretty good at just putting my nose to the grindstone and gutting it out. And so I knew I could win that 2 mile race. Mm. And if I could at least win that 2 mile race, I'd have a better chance of making the team. And it wasn't easy at first. I remember my dad used to call every single day from work and be like, did you run yet? Did you run yet? And most of the time the answer was no. And oh my goodness, 2 miles is so far. And now 2 miles is not
nothing,
so far
right.
anymore. So that's how I got into running. And then in college, in the off season, like probably every collegiate person, you find yourself putting on some pounds, probably due to too much, you know, activities.
15.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I turned to running, and Miami has a fantastic trail system. And so you're out in nature and it doesn't even feel like the miles are piling on. Mm-hmm. And then my running buddy said, hey, I'm going to run a marathon. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I think I'm going to do that. And then, you know, you just catch the bug and you finish your first marathon and you're like, wow, that was awful. I think I'm going to sign up for another one. And then it just kind of snowballed. And then I started getting better at it. And then I got involved with Runner's World. And then I had to be kind of legit. I had to know what I was talking about. And I wanted to experience what runners were experiencing. And because I've hit the wall 20 times mm-hmm. and I've, you know, carb loaded so many times and I've tried different diets and hydration, like, I can absolutely answer your question because I've been there.
Okay. And before we get into nutrition, because I do want to talk about that, that you mentioned how you played soccer in college, and I did read that about you. And I played basketball through college also. I think it's impacted me quite a bit. How do you think that getting your kids involved in movement and sports really impacts them moving forward towards adulthood?
I think sports are a fantastic atmosphere for kids to understand that you really have to apply yourself at something. You have to be dedicated. And I think all of us have had times at practice when we went to our parents and said, I don't want to play. I don't want to be on the team anymore. And, you know, if your parent was saying, look, you signed up for this mm-hmm. and you're going to see it through. And then that was a great learning experience.
So I was here for the Storm the Fort, the 5K that you ran in that also.
I didn't.
Okay, but you guys brought your EAS bars.
Yes,
your
we
ES
supported.
Line. Okay,
absolutely.
Okay. I loved it. What I liked about it is that, and we're a sports bar family. We eat bars all the time, and we try to make sure that we're very selective about it. And one of the things that I liked it felt dense and it felt real. And I know other bars have a lot of sugar and fillers. So how does a family go about choosing the right bar for them? How does an athlete go about choosing the right bar for them?
Right. There's, a bazillion bars mm-hmm. out on the market. Mm-hmm. We have two. We have 100% Whey, which we designed to look very visible ingredients. It's a really high quality, high protein bar. It's got 20 grams of protein. So I probably wouldn't give it to my 2-year-old because, mm-hmm. wow, that's a lot of you know, nutrients. And we have our Advantage, which is designed more for a fitness enthusiast, a snack on the go, another really high quality bar. There are a lot of great options out there. If I'm telling a client, here's what you should look for in a bar, I usually say, let's keep it well under 300 calories.
Okay.
And what's your occasion for a bar? Are you snacking? Okay, then let's talk about 150 to 200 calorie range. Let's start there. Are you a meal replacement? Okay, then maybe 200 to 300. So that's, you know, what I start with. And then we start talking about, let's make sure it has at least 10 grams of protein. Because if it doesn't have at least 10 grams of protein, I do feel that you're going to eat it, and in 5 minutes, you're going to be like, well, I think I'm hungry again, mm-hmm. right? Carbohydrate can definitely come into play. Some people restrict carbs. Most runners, fitness enthusiasts, gym goers, they can afford more carbs in their life. And then fat is this nutrient that I think we've been afraid of for so long.
Yep.
But the more research I read, the more important I realize that fat is. I recently started following a diet that was higher in fat. And I'm just excited about the benefits of improved focus, reduced inflammation. We know that when you pull out a lot of sugar, you get improvements in muscle recovery and inflammation. You know, sugar is probably not our best friend mm-hmm. in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So I do watch that pretty carefully. And then, honestly, there's really no reason your bar should have things like artificial coloring in it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's got red 40, yellow 5 or whatever, why?
Right.
Those things, you know, are not needed.
And so if someone were to get your book, would they be able to see all of those things, the recommendations that you just
Absolutely.
Made?
I set it up so if you're going out for a run, here's the nutrients you should look for. If you're coming back, here's what you should look for. And it has to do with fat and fiber and things like that. It makes it really simple.
It's interesting that Abbott is kind of tied into people hear Abbott. They also hear about Abbott Pharmaceuticals. Are pharmaceuticals and movement enemies? Can we make them friends? Can we make them running partners? How does that work?
That's a really good question. And I became a dietitian because I wanted to be a doctor. And then I was like, well, you know, maybe we can heal people with food. Maybe we can heal people with food and exercise and take a more holistic approach. But then I learned about, you know, different pharmaceuticals, not only from Abbott, but just, you know, growing up and going to grad school. There's different approaches. Some pharmaceuticals are non-negotiable, right? You have a chronic disease mm-hmm. and this is going to be your lifesaver. But it can also be your partner, right? So if you have chronic inflammation and you need a pharmaceutical to help you with that, and that gets you off the couch and it makes you feel better and you can just feel this fluid movement, that's a tool you have in your arsenal to help you get healthier, help you start moving and just feel better. So it's, you know, part of it's just living life to the fullest. What tools are you using?
Right.
You know, and then sometimes we get, you know, we probably take supplements or pharmaceuticals that they're not necessarily necessary. And then it's time to take a step back and say, you know, is that really helping me get to my best self?
What do you think about supplements? There's all this, you know, this media attention around.
Sure. There's different ways I view supplements. So I start with vitamins and minerals. I encourage my clients to get vitamins and minerals from food. But I also know that if you're working out really, really intensely, like personally, I burn through so many nutrients and I excrete them that I know that if I don't take my, you know, magnesium and my calcium and my iron, I feel fatigued. I break down.
Hmm.
I need my omega-3s to fight off inflammation. And so there's different, you know, vitamins and minerals I take almost as like added insurance, a cheap insurance.
Hmm.
And then there's supplements like protein supplements. And clearly I support protein supplements. But unfortunately, there's a lot of noise around what I would call sketchy products in the market. And if I was working with any brand, if I was working with any client, I would say two things. Make sure there's a certification on your protein powder. And it's as simple as NSF. It's the same certification you're going to see that, you know, it's on a vitamin or maybe it's on your mixer or your dishwasher. And this means that whatever's on that product's label is what's in the product. Okay, so there's no like what I call special sauce. And again, I work with a lot of high-level athletes who cannot take any chances on something being their supplement that's not what they should be taking. And then also there's, when you look on the ingredient panel, sometimes you'll find a proprietary blend, okay? And this is another secret sauce. Mm-hmm. What's disappointing about proprietary blends is you don't know what's in it or you don't know exactly how much of the nutrient you're getting. And so I wish people were just more, you know, transparent about exactly what's in their product, because then I would feel better about my athlete taking it. And then there's, you know, there's different supplements like creatine and HMB, supplements like that, which are incredibly well researched. And depending on what kind of athlete you are, what your sport is, they're absolutely safe and effective. And then there are kind of like new, you know, fly by nights that as a dietitian, I'm like, wow, I can't quite keep up with that. So luckily there's, you know, the NSF certification, and I know NSF isn't going to certify anything that's a fly-by-night or not efficacious. Mm-hmm. So I feel you can, I just generally, I can be like, well, go to the store, look for the certification, and it's usually quite safe.
And we can see this information in your book, but also we can follow you on your monthly articles to kind of keep up to date with that, because it sounds like it's ever changing.
It really is. And as a dietitian, I honestly, I hate it when an athlete comes to me and says, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, wow, I've never heard about that before. You know, either make something up or I'll get back to you.
Right, right.
But there's always something coming out. Mm-hmm. And there's always, you know, one fad or another. So it can be difficult, you know, to keep up with. Luckily, you know, the FDA does a decent job on informing us about dietary supplements. But again, there's, you know, what, like a bazillion out there. So it's hard for one, you know, one person to keep up with right. it.
If I may ask, what is your kind of daily movement regimen? How do you get movement into your life?
Sure. I'm pretty religious about my morning workout. I work out in the morning because I feel fresher, more awake, more alert at work. But also my day, just like everyone else's, sometimes unravels, sometimes gets busy. I can find a million excuses. And I know if I don't work out in the morning, by evening, my husband always can say, you obviously didn't work out today, right? So I'm more of a morning person. I'll get up, I'll drive to work, or I'll drive to work and then I'll go to the gym, or I'll run in my neighborhood. And it's usually like an hour. Mm-hmm. If I'm training for a marathon, it might be like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And it's running. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes there's speed work in there. I switch it up. I used to run just in a straight line, 8 miles an hour every day. And then my performance didn't really change. So then I was talking to my coach and he was like, well, we need speed work and we need hills and we need easy days so your heart rate can kind of rest every now and then. And actually that helped a lot.
And, you know, speaking of something new, what's something new based on some of the stuff that we talked about here? What's something new, a new movement you want to include in your life?
A new movement. I'm actually awful at strength training. And as much as my coach tells me and as much as I read about you should do a core workout, I just ignore it and I run in a straight line. So now that I finished a marathon and it's technically off season, I'll still run in that straight line. But I think I'll pay a little more attention to my abs and my hamstrings and try to gain some strength and flexibility and stability.
Okay, sounds good. Be sure to check out Pam's book and Pam's monthly article. And thank you very much for coming here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. And now, a word from our person on the street.
Tell me, Little Lou, what do you want to tell people about movement?
So I like to tell you about movement is up and down, side to side.
Do you think people should move a lot?
Yes.
Do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
How does it make you feel?
Very like it when I do it because it's like relationships for a triangle movement. And I like it when I do it. And even that, like it when I do it. So, and that's the last thing of movement is up, down, side, side. And I really like Piggy's doing it. Bye.
Okay, out of the mouth of babes.
That's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.